Are you ready to talk Padres spring training baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, it's show number 3 of the young spring training season, and our new host, Mike Janella, is digging it.
I like it. It's cool. I don't know what it was like here last year.
Also on the set, we've got someone that does know what it was like here last year, a man who couldn't stay away and is here to put Janella through his paces, Jesse Agler.
You're like rookie hazing him here. Is that what this is?
No. Is that what that is?
It sounds like it.
Now, from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona, here's your hosts, Mike Janella and Jesse Agler.
Well, Jesse, they did it. Welcome to Padres Social Hour. 2 episodes. That's all they gave me. Before they had to bring you back.
I just want to say this was not my doing. I don't want anybody to be like, oh, Agler is an egomaniac. He had to go back on the show. I had nothing to do with this. I got a call at like 10 o'clock last night. Said, hey, can you help me out?
Said, whose voice is that?
That's Blooper, obviously. Yeah. And I said, sure, Seth, whatever you need.
They really went into the break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah,
ASAP, two shows. Spring training.
Well done, Seth.
Yeah, well, we'll try and keep this on the rails because, we don't want you back
here. Good
luck to you. Have other preoccupations to worry about this spring. And welcome to Padres Social Hour. It is our 3rd episode from here in Peoria. Jesse Agler, great to have you back.
No, thanks, man.
Not your first spring training here, but your first up in the broadcast booth full time.
Yeah.
How's that been different than when you were in this chair the last couple of years?
Yeah, the days are a little bit different, you know, just from like the way you schedule yourself kind of ways you're learning. You know, you get a little bit more freedom, I think, when you're not doing the games. You know, for me, when I'm doing a game, I get really like wrapped up in the preparation, and especially in spring training when there are a lot of guys on the other team that you don't know much about. You know, so I go a little over the top with that, trying to figure out as much as I can about those guys. So a little bit less free time at night maybe the night before a game. But it's been fun. I've loved it. Getting to work with Ted and Don has been really, really good for me so far. And the best thing about spring training is it gives you such a good appreciation for the regular season as far as the games go.
That's one way to put it.
From a broadcast standpoint. So, no, it's been fun. We're having a blast.
I just picture you at 12:30 at night with Carrie Matheson Homeland pinboards of depth charts of guys with yarn in different positions.
100%. And like, oh, the Oakland A's, like this is the literal only time we'll see them this year. But let's spend 2 hours trying to figure out, you know, who the third baseman is going to be in the 8th inning and something we can say about him. That's very much how it goes. It's the rental apartment here in Peoria. It's a homeland thing. There's no question.
Now, you have said in the past that spring training is your favorite time of year. More so, less so, the same with a different job?
Yeah, no, it's still my favorite time of year. I mean, I keep waiting for the year I can say October is my favorite time of year, and I think that's how most Padre fans feel. I know it's how these players and coaching staff and everybody else here feels, but I do love it. There's a sense of anything is possible. We all know that. But the environment, it's loose, it's fun, it's relaxed. The players are a little bit different than they are during the regular season, understandably so. And you get that intimacy and sort of that feel. It kind of feels like a little bit of a minor league season for a few weeks, which is fun. You know, you've worked in the minor leagues. We've all done, you know, minor league things here and there. And there is an intimacy, there is a charm to minor league baseball that you don't usually get during the regular season in the big leagues, and this provides a little taste of that.
Yeah, the stadiums too, the 50-50 raffles going on.
It's the same soundtrack for batting practice at every single minor
center
league
field, cheap seats.
Put me in, coach. Yeah.
Jesse's ready to play. Yeah. All right, let's talk some Padres specifically. You're watching literally every pitch of every game while you're here.
I did miss the split squad game. I could not be in two places at once.
One of the powers you have not yet managed. But who's impressed you, or what's impressed you about this team the most so far?
That's a really good question. It's still super early. I could give you like a couple random guys who I think have looked really good. I think Adam Rosales has looked really good so far. The cool thing about him is it doesn't matter if it seems to be third base or shortstop or first base. Like anywhere they put him, he's making like a nice defensive play every single day. He's gotten a couple of big hits as well. Jamile Weeks has looked really good early on. The catchers have all been great. That's the biggest storyline as far as I'm concerned going into the regular season. What happens at catcher?
Save that because we have a tease later. So
I won't go any further with it.
Yeah, but continue elsewhere.
Yeah, sure. So I think that's huge. And those guys have all looked really good. So it's fun, you know, especially in these first couple of weeks of games, kind of picking out the guys that are working hard with Alan Zinter, the hitting coach for the Padres.
He's not working very hard right now, just video bombing. But otherwise, he's been doing a good job.
I think we've all done that at some point or another. But like, you know.
Quickest way to my heart.
Yeah, that's the fun thing here is kind of like, oh, look at this guy. I didn't necessarily expect that. And does, you know, 10 spring training at-bats make a team? No, of course not. You know, that stuff is going to have to continue for the next couple of weeks. But I love that. I love seeing who the early surprises are, the good surprises and all that. And then, obviously, watching the pitching staff come together, because that's another huge storyline.
Yeah. Jamal Weeks has been my sort of really underrated X factor. He leads the team in runs after the first five or six games. He's played three positions in the infield, everything but first. And Rosales, you're right. The one game a couple days ago, he first three times on base or at the plate, and he reaches by error, walk, and sacrifice. And it's just those little things, I think, that an Andy Green really hones in on.
No doubt. And he's made, I can remember in my mind, good defensive plays he's made at three different positions. So when you talk about a roster on a National League team, you're thinking about a guy that can come off the bench late, he can maybe play first, he can maybe play third, he can maybe play short, maybe play second. He's played the outfield in his career. So you start to say, okay, like, if he's at least that good at all those different places, that's a good guy for a bench. That's a really good guy for a bench. And Rosales, Schumacher, Amarista, Weeks, there's a bunch of guys in the mix there. I mean, you start doing roster math and you realize how few opportunities there are. You know, probably one of those guys makes the team, maybe two. I haven't done the number crunching all the way yet because it's too early for that. But, yeah, it's a fun battle, and it's off to a great start.
Some decisions for Andy Green to make, for sure. Let's play Hot Topic Roulette. I'm going to give you three of the more discussed elements of this team. You pick the one you want to talk about most. Number one, Andy Green's managerial presence. Number two, the differences in camp between this year and last year, Green's first year. And number three, how is this team going to recoup some of the lost production offensively from the offseason? What do you want to talk about?
I forget them already. Number one.
Andy Green's managerial presence.
Sure. Yeah.
Jesse Agler takes door one. All right. What are your impressions?
Very detail-oriented. I spent 4 years working for an NFL team. The way he runs a practice here, a workout, reminds me of a football practice. Not in that guys are doing football drills, obviously, just in the organization, the meticulous detail, the way he's doing everything. That can only make you better. Now, does it equal five more wins in the regular? I don't know. It can only make you better, though. It will help these guys, and it's been really fun to watch. Totally unique.
All right, we go back to that catcher situation because I put out on Twitter earlier this week for fans to ask us some questions. I said only good ones would be acceptable to maybe make it on the show.
That was somehow controversial on Twitter.
Somehow controversial.
I'm glad they think the bad ones have been getting through the last 3 years.
And it devolved into a wrestling theme song.
Yes.
Like Wormhole, which I guess was
what would
expected.
Be your wrestling theme song? I know you've thought about
that. Give me a chance to think about it. We'll do it at the end of the show. All right. We'll tease that. But one good question that did come through
stay
was
tuned.
From our friend, our Jellyman. Yeah. That doesn't keep you tuned in. I don't know what will. He asks, and you can interpret his tweet a couple different ways, but basically it comes down to how do you see the catcher battle shaking out? Basically, Derek Norris is locked in as the starter, but Christian Bethencourt and Austin Hedges are both having amazing springs. How do you see it shaking out?
Too early to give you an answer to that, but I will say it does remind me of 2 years ago. You had Nick Hundley, the veteran. You had Rene Rivera, and you had Yasmani Grandal, and they were all on the opening day roster. Very unusual. Now, I'm not saying that that's definitely going to happen with Norris, Hedges, and Bethencourt. Look, for Austin Hedges to be a net positive on this team, he doesn't need to hit 260. The defense is that good. I don't know what the number is as far as batting average, on base, home runs, whatever you want to say, but if he can be a 225, 230 type hitter at the big league level, he's worth having around. Now, the question is, does he need to go down to AAA in order to get to that point? I don't know. But he's so good defensively. Derek Norris has been awesome so far. Bethencourt has been really impressive so far. So today is March 9th, whatever it is. Like, I can't be making predictions on the catcher position because it could go any number of ways. The good news is everybody's producing right now, both at the plate and behind it. So they're going to be options for A.J. Preller. They're going to be options for Andy Green. And I don't think they have to lock themselves into, you know, any kind of final decision or final blueprint at this point. You let the thing play out. You know, as we know, that position especially, injuries can happen. We saw that last year with Fedorovich during spring training. So it'll be cool to kind of see, you know, the way it all continues over the course of the rest of this month.
Too many options, a good problem to have.
Not a problem, as somebody once told me.
All right, we also want to give you guys a look this spring training at some of the behind the scenes here at Padres camp. And this week, Jesse, we talked to Todd Stevenson, who you know well, kind of runs the show here, and he took us into Major League locker room of the San Diego Padres. Take a look at how the Padres get ready for all their action here in Peoria. Today, a very special guest with me, Todd Stevenson, whose official title is
Manager of Minor Leagues in Peoria Operations.
Unofficial title, you basically run the whole Padres complex while they're here in Peoria. Give us a quick little overview of what the Padres are working with here.
Well, it's 3 years old after the renovations when I first came on board, and it's a 62,000 square foot complex, which is, you know, really state of the art. You know, maybe don't have all the bells and whistles, but it's a very functional workplace for the ball club to get everyone in shape and get them off to a good start for the season.
What are you showing us today? This is we're going to be taking a different look at different places throughout the spring. Where are we going to start?
Today we're going to start in the Major League Clubhouse. Let's go take a look.
All right, let's do it.
We have 70 lockers. Right now we have 64 guys. I think we had 66 earlier. So it's kind of a full house, but there's still plenty of room. Everything functions really well. Your typical laundry cart is, you know, one of their most important weapons. You know, guys throw all their stuff in here. Back in the day, they used to use shopping carts. So if you had some nice new shopping carts, you were in really good shape. So, plus we're just trying to get into the 21st century of vacuuming. You got Spencer here on his hovercraft with his wireless vacuum. I mean, that ain't no accident right there, Jack, I'm gonna tell you. When you're the best in the Major League Baseball, such as Spencer Dolan, you vacuum on a hoverboard. This is just our standard locker. You notice you got two racks up top for shoes and or bats. Got your little cubby, couple hooks, and then you know, you'd be surprised at how much wear and tear they get. So you got the stainless steel kick plate on the bottom. We also just have these new lineup boards and schedules. It's just your basic display we have up, and as you can see, it changes scheduled in the lineup. The natural light that gets into the clubhouse, not just from the windows, but also from the skylights up here. A lot of clubhouses don't have because they're underneath the stadiums. Sun's kind of bright in Arizona.
Too much sun in Arizona, Todd Stevenson says.
Who knew? Makes a good cup of coffee, though.
He does.
I'll tell you that.
Ah,
lovely.
There you go. All right, we'll be back in a bit. But first, for the first time ever, the Padres will host a series of week-long summer baseball camps across San Diego County for boys and girls ages 5 through 12. For info or to register, visit Padres.com/playball. We're back on Padres Social Hour after this.
We're back to Padres Social Hour, broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex at San Diego Padres Spring Training.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Andrew Cashner is our first guest today. Can you believe he is now the longest tenured Padre?
It's crazy.
That's crazy. Well, we asked Andrew about it, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it's scary.
How weird is that? Because it's only been four seasons. How's that feel?
That's not a good thing. It's definitely been a lot of overturn, since I've been here in 2012, but it's kind of sad sometimes when you look around the locker room and, you know, guys that, you know, you've become good friends with and stuff like that, you know, they're not here anymore, but it's also a chance to make new friends.
How do you take that personally? Is there any more leadership or responsibility in the clubhouse you put on yourself being here the longest?
No, I mean, I don't really put any extra anything on me. I think, you know, it's just part of, you know, changing the culture that we have going now.
Now, even though you've been here a few seasons and you are kind of established, something Andy Green's talked about, no matter who it is in camp, no one's a finished product. Everyone's still learning, still growing. That includes you, a little knuckle curve we heard you were working on in spring. What else are you working on to make yourself better?
I'm working on a lot of things, but, I mean, a knuckle curve is something I've always thrown. I've just kind of gone away from it the last 2 years. But for me, it's just working on locating my fastball, getting my sinker out in front, working both sides of the plate, and keeping my changeup down, and you know, it's kind of tweaking my mechanics still a little bit.
Seems like the last couple seasons, either you have one thing go right and then the other, something else breaks down, or vice versa. Stuff looks great, but maybe some health issues. Or last year you were totally healthy, a couple things not going your way in terms of stats. How close are you to getting the puzzle fully put together and making this your best season yet?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just, you know, keep always, you know, learning every day and just keep working. I mean, there's so many things out of your control. And it's just show up every day, you know, be a great teammate if you're not playing, and, you know, just keep striving to be better each day.
What's it like? Obviously, Darren Balsley, someone that a lot of these new pitchers are getting to work with, and he's kind of starting with them from scratch. He's someone you have a relationship with that you've established. What's that working relationship like now, year five for you as a Padre?
Yeah, no, Darren's been like a second dad to me. You know, he's helped me on the field, off the field. He's one of my favorite people to see every day. I think, you know, what he brings to the table is incredible. I mean, he gets the most out of each guy on the staff. And no one cares more about his pitchers than Darren Balsley.
How do you mean that? Like, what does he do? What kind of stuff does he say? Or
I mean, no matter the situation, no matter the person, he'll always fight for his pitchers. You know, he never wants any attention on himself, never in the spotlight. But he puts in more work and more hours than any person I know to make us better each day.
The starting rotation is going to be a strength for this team. I think the biggest strength, and they don't even have the 4 and 5 guys slotted in yet as we're talking, but I think there's lots of good candidates. But between you and Tyson and James, the top of the rotation is pretty set. What's the relationship like among the three of you?
Yeah, no, we got a great relationship. You know, when Tyson came over here in 2013, you know, me and him have formed a great relationship on and off the field. And you know, just year two with Shields, you know, it's a chance to grow with Shields and keep learning from him on his veteran leadership.
Obviously, you all have different repertoires and different stuff, but what can you learn from those two guys? What can they learn from you? What kind of notes do you guys pass in class, so to speak?
I mean, it's not class by
any
means.
Right.
It's a baseball field. But I think, you know, during the season, it's going back and forth and, you know, talking about hitters, talking about certain pitches, talking about umpires. It's a lot goes in each day in the dugout.
Defense this year looks to be much improved from last year. A lot of new athletes and a lot of guys that are healthy now fully behind you. For a pitcher, how important is it seeing these guys shagging balls in spring training, seeing a guy like Alexi Ramirez at shortstop, being able to turn some double plays now? How important is that for you mentally, knowing who's behind you this year?
Yeah, mentally it doesn't bother me. For the most part, it's just, you know, just playing sound defense and sound baseball. And, I mean, I think, you know, having John Jay out there in center field and you know, him and BJ rotating, whether one of them is playing left or center, I think that's going to be a big addition for us.
So mentality-wise, for the club as a whole, obviously last year a lot of hype and a lot of people saying a lot of things with all the offseason moves. This year a little bit more under the radar. Do you guys like that? What's the clubhouse mentality for you guys as a whole?
I mean, there's always hype, no matter where you go. I mean, there's a lot of money in this game, so I mean, there's always going to be media hype. But it's just show up and do your job and get the most out of it each day, and you know, be a better teammate. And you know, I think there's going to be a lot of things that we might shock some people on this year.
All right, let's get you out of here on a couple of fun topics. Number one, your beard game, obviously very strong. It was a big topic on our episode last week. Seth, our producer Blooper, got rid of his beard. We put it up to an internet poll.
Still upset about that.
What's your opinion on it? Because you had a pretty strong opinion.
You can ask him. I'm not talking to him right now.
I think that says everything we need to say. Twitter, 71% of people says he should grow it back, by the way. So I think
I care less about Twitter.
All right, well, there you go. Fernando Rodney coming in, a new guy. He's got his bow and arrow celebration. You're a guy who shoots actual bows and arrow. What's his technique? How's his form?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet on our team, but we'll get into that kind of probably towards the end of spring and early in the season, so maybe I can help him out. I don't know.
I'll come back to you and ask for a critique once he gets a couple games under his belt. And last thing, a lot of our fans, a lot of our viewers are wrestling fans. One of the first things I noticed when I met you for the first time was a Stone Cold t-shirt in your locker. Do you know it's 316 all month? It's March 2016. I didn't realize that until yesterday. I think that's a good sign for you, man. I think that's a good spring coming up.
I love some Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he's got the Broken Skull Ranch there in Texas, and always a big fan watching him growing up, and I love my Stone Cold t-shirt.
Nice, man. I didn't have mine with me, but when I get it out at the end of the spring, we'll have to rock it together. It'd be a good picture for Twitter that no one will see from your side, but that my fans will hopefully enjoy. All right, man. Well, a big hell yeah to you and a good 2016 on the way, we hope.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Andrew. I always love working in a little Stone Cold Steve Austin or pro wrestling talk, especially with Andrew Cashner. Jesse doesn't, so we'll stop that conversation there. I think he's the difference between this rotation being good and being great this year. Agree?
Some combination of him and Brandon Mauer, you're right. I mean, Cashner, it's got to be better than last year. There's no question. He had all the bad luck in the world from a run support standpoint, from a defense standpoint. We've talked about that ad nauseum. So he will be better. I don't have any doubt about it.
All right. That was the word from Jesse on Andrew Cashner. Fans, the word on on All-Star Game is that All-Star Week is coming to San Diego this July 8th through 12th. Register now for the chance to purchase tickets at allstargame.com. Up next, here in spring training, you never know who's going to show up. Tom DeLonge of Blink-182 stops by. Big Padres fan. We'll talk to him next on Padres Social Hour.
Your San Diego Padres are in Arizona at the Peoria Sports Complex for spring training. And so are we. This is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. And joining me now, Tom DeLonge, or as we were just talking before cameras were rolling, DeLonge, a little French ancestry.
It's more DeLonge.
DeLonge.
If you wanted to give it a little bit of... a little bit of flair.
All right. Well, we like flair around here. Tom, you may know, famous for his musical career, Blink-182, Angels and Airwaves, Boxcar Racer. I liked a lot when I was in high school.
Wow, you're pulling out some good knowledge.
That was like my high school soundtrack, so thank you for helping provide all that.
Thank you very much.
You're here today as a Padres fan. You're here at spring training.
I am. And I just want to make it known to the world that I find it odd that to celebrate San Diego's hometown field, I have to go to Phoenix. But I'm learning about why this works. I'm learning about why all the teams are out here. I didn't know. It always kind of sat weird with me. I'm like, why are they out there practicing?
Well, because all the teams can practice together now and then play each other, and that way you go back to San Diego and you feel like it's home.
They should just go to, like, Mission Bay, you know, on the park
well,
there.
All the other teams, I think, would not be loving that, the extra travel.
Probably
San Diego,
not.
Obviously, the Padres would love it. What are you doing here? You brought some your sons here, right? You came to check it out. What brought you to Peoria?
Well, I wanted my little boy to wear tight black jeans, play guitar, love punk rock music, go skateboarding, and he's a hardcore athlete. So we got all into baseball last year to support something that he loved. And as we were coming to the games and we bought some season tickets, I started learning so much more about the sport. I mean, I played baseball. I mean, I understand, but the intricacies and the nuance and the technicality of, you know, I was reading about pitching. I had no idea that they throw the ball a certain way, so you either see white or red and all these different. Then that fascinated me. So we just got so into it that we did a big Christmas present for the boy to come out here to spring training.
That's cool.
But because a lot of people were really nice, they let us come behind the scenes and see some cool stuff. And it's just been awesome today so far.
And now the highlight is you're on our show. I mean, that's obviously the one thing you're going to take away from this, right?
Well, that, and they're probably going to need me to play, you know.
What position were you growing up?
I'm a masseuse.
Okay, nice.
So I'd be like a team masseuse or something. Is that guy on field?
Not on field, but I'm sure we can get you pretty close. Maybe dugout adjacent or something. Talk to me about that evolution. What was it once you got to the game that, you know, at Petco Park, what hooked you besides the technicalities? Obviously, baseball is something that a lot of people enjoy the sort of theatrics of in the presentation. What did you take away most from your newfound fandom?
Yeah, well, number one, I think Petco Park is probably one of the top three or four stadiums in the country, if not the top. And so when you go there, the experience is really fun and open and airy, and you could see what's going on no matter where you're at. A lot of great restaurants, bars, all that kind of stuff. So going there is just a really great time. But the team kind of having this rebirth, you know, last year, and bringing in that dope new screen that you guys got.
It's a nice one, isn't it?
And all the content. I was saying earlier to some of your guys that all the media you guys have been doing and really bringing the players' personalities out to the crowd. I came in not knowing anything about any of these players because I just don't follow sports. And after like three games, I knew all the players, knew what kind of car they would want, whether a sports car or like a big monster truck. Really feeling like, okay, there's like a foundation to build off of being a fan rather than just coming in and going, I'm rooting for San Diego, you know? So that just drew me in, you know?
Well, you're a creative guy, obviously. What would you do if you were running a baseball stadium entertainment division?
First thing I would do is I would give the team the fryer back. And I would make sure that the uniforms had a modern fit but had a super vintage look. You would see contrast stitching, and it looks like it's stitched by hand. You would see old school patches that are like felt, and it looked like it was made like, you know, by like slave labor and some other. No, I'm just totally
joking.
Yeah,
we wouldn't do that.
I'm just totally joking. Okay, I'm allowed to joke. I'm in a rock band. That's what we do. But I would just make sure that the legacy is always on the tip of the spear. You know, because that's the great thing about sports is you feel like you're not just rooting for them because you're in that town. You're rooting for them because the entirety of their career as a team is something that you grew up with. Mm-hmm. And so when sports teams change their logos, change their colors, and do things like that, you kind of go, that's not the team I grew up with. You know? So that's my – and I've been spending a lot of time, by the way, backstage. Do you call this backstage?
We can, yeah. That's lingo you're used to.
Telling everybody to bring that fryer back. Make sure it's old looking.
You're so much more than a team masseuse. You have so many more ideas to give.
Masseuse and marketing are actually from the same Greek word.
Oh, well, there you go. We'll take that away.
Yeah, sorry.
How many games did you make it out to last year?
My family made more than I because I travel a lot, but I probably went to about between 10 and 15 games. We came in and bought a really great set of tickets for like the last quarter of the season or something like that. So it was great. It was a lot of fun.
So you're now into it more. You're learning more about the players. What are you thinking for this season coming up? Obviously a lot different than it was last season, but.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that the things that I'm noticing here is cool. You guys got music blasting through the halls. You have this whole new sense of pride. We got that rebirth thing going on, really invested in some A-level players. I mean, they're all A-level, but obviously there's certain guys that make their way to the top of the pack. And the team has really seemed, you know, from the outside, it seems like, you know, they're really putting the time in, the effort in, and the money in to show that they're serious and want to grow the ball club. And frankly, coming from San Diego, we're always hoping that we get one of those really great legacy, you know, driven teams, mm-hmm. whether football or baseball. But it's been hard because it's, you know, California, Southern California is not really known like, you know, for sports as much as other places are. So I think everyone in the city is really excited about that.
Do you have a favorite Padre?
Well, yeah, I'm a huge Derek Norris fan because my son is madly into Norris. And so we've all adopted his kind of feverish fandom over Derek. And we just got to meet him a little bit ago, my little 9-year-old. He walked in the room and he just started crying.
Seriously?
He started crying. And then my wife started crying. And then I look at it and I'm like, am I supposed to cry? I might start crying. That's happened to me 1,000 times where kids come backstage and meet my band members and I, and they start crying. It's not that you say you get used to it. It's not that you get jaded, but you've seen it a lot, you know? So and you're happy and you're stoked and you're heartfelt, but for it to be a father and have that happen to my boy, I just got so, it's just a whole new kind of view of that, of how important things like this are to kids. And rock and roll, we're not good role models, but athletes a lot of the time, yeah. Most of the time are, so it's cool.
Man, maybe a future Padre, then future catcher for your son.
Yep, my son is a catcher, and I told him, I said, dude, they might need you during the game, just make sure you're ready, you know? So
while dad's massaging, you can go behind the plate and take care of business there.
That's true. I'm just going to make sure that everyone's loose, no one's tense. And like I sit in the dugout, and every time they come out, I just go, are you tense? Tense, you okay?
You good?
Tense.
You good?
Good.
Awesome. Tom, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the time here and enjoy the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Never know who's going to stop by spring training. You a Blink-182 guy at all?
That was awesome. Yeah. San Diego guy into the Padres, very cool.
Cool seeing him around. He wants to be the team masseuse. I don't think they'll let him do that. But if you want to volunteer, you can as a part of MLB All-Star Week. MLB and the Padres are looking for volunteers to support the events surrounding the Midsummer Classic, taking place July 7th through 12th. Visit allstargame.com/volunteer to sign up today. When we come back, a familiar face to Padres fans, Matt Vasgersian, on Padres Social Hour.
The Padres are getting ready for the 2016 season, and we're getting you ready for it. Broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. We're joined by a face and a voice many of you may be familiar with. Matt Vasgersian, what's up? Welcome back to Padres.
Good to be back in Peoria.
Yeah.
I'd say that, but it is good to be back in Peoria. It really is.
Well, glad to have you because some of us who've been here for the whole, you know, spring training, it gets to be a little bit repetitive, but it's nice to get some fresh perspective from somebody.
Yeah, no, it is good to be here. It's renewing, you know, when you come down to spring training and there's a little spring in everybody's step and there's this optimism that's everywhere. It's fun.
You're here because of 30 clubs in 30 days with MLB Network. What's your schedule? Do you do all the teams? Do you do half of them, Cactus League? What's your involvement?
I got half the Cactus League, so I drew the long straw, especially getting to start here with the pods, and it's always fun to be here. But I'm here for a week. This is like my first day in the Cactus League. We literally do a different team every day, and then there's a different team that'll start in the Grapefruit League, and we cut that in half, and by the end of March, somebody from our network will have seen all 30 teams.
It's got to be nice. I grew up in New Jersey, so I'm not firing any shots, but nice to get out of Secaucus for a little bit in March, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it is. It's you know, although they've had an early spring there, so there's really been little to complain about weather-wise in New Jersey this year, but whenever you're in the Western U.S., especially in the baseball context, it's fun.
All right, so you're back here at the Padres. Things have changed a little bit since your days in Peoria.
Yeah.
For those fans who may be newcomers, I guess, to the team or may not realize how much things around here have changed, what's your scouting report from Peoria of your days when you were in the booth versus now?
You know, it used to be that you'd get off the highway to come to the ballpark, and it was pretty much just the ballpark and maybe a couple of fast food joints. Now this whole area has developed, and baseball is the reason for that. With two major league teams sharing the same site, the business community has taken the cue, and there are people that come down here from parts unknown all year, in particular in the spring. So it's a really vibrant place now. There's a lot of dining options. It's a lot of fun.
Part of you has to feel a little bit nostalgic coming back, right?
Yeah. Even though it looks physically much different than it did 15 years ago, because the complex has had its facelift and it's really a beautiful facility now. It does. It you know, you walk on certain parts of the backfields and you remember speaking to a guy there 15 years ago. I remember being standing not far from where we are now with, you know, Phil Nevins and Trevor Hoffmans of the world, and thinking about how the NL West looked back then and how different it looks now for every team. Obviously, that's the nature of this thing, the change component. But it is. It's fun to reminisce that way.
It's funny because a lot of those guys are here now as coaches and advisors, and
right.
Trevor Hoffman's wearing a jersey every day of camp. So
right.
That's pretty cool to see. Thoughts on the team this year? Obviously, you guys are doing your special and you're talking to everyone while you're here. But from a national perspective, from where you're sitting back on the East Coast, what are the thoughts on the Padres for 2016?
You know, nationally, the expectations are pretty low, and that's okay. I think from Andy Green on down, I think the Padres would be fine with that, because last year the expectations were so much higher that what turned into an okay year was viewed by some as a disappointment, and I don't think that was a fair way to really wrap up the 2015 Padres. I think this year, you know, looking at some of the personnel, the pitching staff, and AJ's to be credited with this, he changed the dynamic without changing its strength, which was the top three guys in the rotation. I also feel like Will Myers is primed to have a great year. I've got him penciled in as my National League Comeback Player of the Year.
He's kind of been the X factor of the show all spring that we've been doing. Everyone says the same
thing.
Yeah,
I mean, if his wrist feels as good as he says it does, and we have no reason to believe otherwise, I think we lost sight as to what a terrific prospect he was when he was coming up as a young Royal, and there was a reason he was so highly coveted all those years. So if he's comfortable at first base, which seems to be the case, and if the wrist is good, he could be a huge factor in the division race this year.
And the one year he's been the healthiest at the big league level, he was Rookie of the Year.
Right.
People forget that. It was
right.
Only two years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. So, again, I mean, he's a undervalued guy. And you know, I usually pick a pod for my preseason predictions. Last year I had Tyson Ross winning the NL Cy Young Award. I don't know. I might do that again this year.
He might this year.
I got Will Myers as National League Comeback Player of the Year.
Between Will or Tyson Ross, who are you most excited to, while you're in camp, speak to or get to know a little bit better or work with?
You know, it's Andy. I really want to. I don't know Andy at all. Met him a moment ago. Looking forward to kind of tapping into him because I've heard such great things. And generally speaking, when there's a managerial decision that comes down, a hire, and it's somebody like Andy Green, which comes as a little bit of a surprise to some, you know, you might hear a mixed bag of things. For Andy, it's just been universal praise. I mean, I haven't met a guy in baseball that has anything that's not a glowing compliment about that choice. So for that reason, I'm really looking forward to getting to know him a little bit.
He likes Kentucky basketball, too. So if
really?
Get a chance to slip that
okay.
into conversation.
All
That's
right.
my tip to you. Welcome
okay.
back to Peoria.
That's good.
From the time you left, a lot of people, a lot of faces have changed, front office, personnel, but one guy who has stuck around, Mudcat.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to work with him this season. Any
Sorry.
Tips for any
Sorry.
Tips for how to get through that?
Yeah, keep your hands and feet away from his mouth during feeding time. That's the start. Don't go down the slippery slope of movie lines with him, because he'll, you know, be texting you at odd hours of the night when he's up watching Slapshot at 4 a.m. in a hotel room and something strikes him as funny. Not the best, man. I miss that guy all the time, still try to keep up with him. And, you know, because Mutt is such a good guy and because he's so funny, sometimes his analyst acumen gets overlooked, but he sees the game pretty well. And from a pitching standpoint, he's tremendous, and he's made everybody in that booth better.
What would you say your connection to San Diego outside of Mudcat is? Do you still keep in touch with a lot of people, make it back often?
You know, I still go to the dentist in San Diego, actually, which is...
They do a great job from
probably,
what I can
thanks,
see here.
Yeah. Dr. Fred Larson in La Jolla. Props to Dr. Fred. I try to keep most of my world in San Diego, actually. Like, I get a hard time from friends and family, like, who that lives in New Jersey goes to the dentist in San Diego?
It's a long commute.
But my response to that person is, have you ever been to San Diego? Clearly not. Because if you had a chance to live in Jersey and go to the dentist in San Diego, you would do the same thing.
Especially if it's Dr. Fred, is it?
Dr. Larson. Yeah, he's
Dr.
tremendous.
Larson, yeah.
Look at these choppers.
we can't get a zoom in, I don't think. We lost our third camera. Spring training. Too long, the right amount of time, too short? Because you're going here for half of them. What are your thoughts?
I mean, for me, I'm not a player, and I know that players feel differently about this, but, you know, it's probably about right. I think most players feel like it's too long. And ultimately, there's somebody that might get hurt who might regret being here for as long as he was. I don't know that that's ever going to change, though. We always talk about things in baseball that we're going to change, whether it's a pitch clock or changing the DH rule or contraction or expansion. Spring training's about 6 weeks, and it's probably going to be about 6 weeks in another 15 years when we're coming to Peoria talking about all the new family-friendly dining establishments that are here. That's just kind of the way it is.
Well, hopefully while you're in town, we can show you some of the new stuff you've been missing out on since things have changed here. Matt Vasgersian, thank you very much. Good luck in the rest of your 30 clubs in 30 days.
Thanks. Good to be here.
All right. We're back after this on Padres Social Hour.
Baseball is almost back, but Padres Social Hour returns right now, coming to you from the Peoria Sports Complex and Padres Spring Training.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in Peoria. Joining me now, Hunter Renfro. Hunter, how's your spring?
It's going well. You know, I'm enjoying myself here and trying to learn as much as possible. Just kind of, you know, just trying to learn and have fun.
Yeah, fun is certainly here to be had, but there's baseball to be had too.
Right.
It's your second big league camp, top prospect in the Padres organization for a couple of years now. What are your differences for you so far in year two as opposed to when you were here last year?
You know, I think you kind of realize what's going on a little bit more. You don't have to just kind of watch and learn as much as, you know, what's going on. You kind of know what's going on. You kind of know what to expect and, you know, what to bring to the table every day. And just kind of, you know, once again, though, you're trying to learn as much as possible from the guys that's done it year after year and been up and you know, have so much, you know, confidence in themselves and the things they do. You try to learn as much as possible from those guys like that.
What is the one piece of advice you would have told yourself last year that you know now doing it for the second time?
You know, I think it's just kind of relax and have fun. You know, last year was kind of a deal where I was really nervous. You know, I was kind of one of the lowest guys on the totem pole, I guess you want to say. And you know, I was kind of like a dog following its owner around, you know, kind of just learning what to do and learning how to go about my day and where to go, you know, at what time, stuff like that. So, you know, this year, you know, I kind of know what's going on a little bit more and trying to figure out, you know, where I belong, you know, as a team and really just kind of focusing on, you know, myself and doing what I need to do to get myself ready and be a great teammate as well.
Was there any difference in your approach in the off season, how you were getting prepared for spring training this year compared to last winter?
You know, I try to kind of stick to my usual stuff. You know, I try to go over there and do my running skills and do all my lifting and hitting and stuff, you know, about the same. You know, I try to keep it about the same as possible. You know, I do a lot of hitting in the offseason up at my college, Mississippi State, and at my hometown. And you know, I just kind of help out with our high school team and throw them BP and, you know, long toss with some of the guys there. And try to get as much live at-bats off the guys at Mississippi State as possible. So, you know, I try to keep the same routines because it's worked before. So, why not change it?
Yeah, if it's not broke.
That's right.
Through five games this year, you've already had more at-bats than you had all of spring training last year. What's it like to have more of a stage to show off your stuff?
You know, I think that's kind of a hats off to, you know, Andy and the guys too for, you know, having confidence in me to go out there and get the job done and, you know, and have faith in me. And, you know, I really appreciate that and respect that. And so, you know, I try to go out there every day and just work as hard as possible to, you know, let them see what I do and you know, as well as, you know, watching Matt Kemp and the guys that, you know, they're in the outfield that have so much experience and kind of learning how to go about, you know, the different situations and where to set up and learning from Jay and then, you know, telling me where to set up in the outfield and on different situations, different hitters and stuff like that.
So what kind of a progress report would you give for yourself so far? How's it going learning from them, but also your production? Do you like what you see?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I've put some really good swings on the balls. You know, some of them, of course, hadn't dropped. You know, that's baseball, though. Yeah, I think I've been very well. I've done very well. You know, defensively-wise, I think I've done an excellent job and learning from, you know, Tarek and some, you know, Jay and Upton and Kemp and learning from those guys and really putting myself and striding forward and you know, going about my day.
What would you prefer, gunning down a runner at the plate from deep and right or going yard yourself? What's more satisfaction for you?
That's a tough situation, I guess. You know, I like them both, so I can't really decide on which one.
All right, depends on the situation of the game, I guess,
absolutely.
Right? Is it weird for you, because last year you spent most of the season in Double-A, San Antonio, then you get a little bit of time in El Paso. Those are where you have your friends, your teammates that you spend day in and day out with. And then here in camp, they're on the minor league side, you're with the big league guys. What's that dynamic like for you, at least for these 6 weeks?
Like I said, though, I mean, you really don't try to think about it. I mean, you see these guys every day, you know, whether you want to or not, you know. You know, you all kind of get acquainted to each other and you become friends. And like you said, but, you know, I see the guys on the minor league side just as much as I see the guys on the major league side, you know. And I try to enjoy everybody's company and be friends with everybody and really enjoy just being here at the ballpark, you know, and playing baseball.
Andy Green has talked about to us, to the press, kind of blurring the lines between major and minor leagues, making sure everyone feels part of the same
absolutely.
Organization. You think that's working? Because you're a guy right on the fence right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whether I go up or down, you know, I'm still going to be friends with the guys, you know, in the lower levels or in the upper levels. And I hope they feel the same way, you know. And, you know, like I said, like he said, Andy said, you know, blurring the lines, you know, the guys that are in the minor leagues come up to the major leagues, you know, just as quick as somebody in the major league go down. So, I mean, I think, you know, the blurring the lines is a very good idea, you know, because the guys in the minor leagues come up and play in these games, you know, every day. And you know, we got to treat them with respect as well as they treat us with respect.
All right, so let's take you down two paths here at the end of spring training. Path one, you make the big league roster. How do you think you can contribute to the San Diego Padres right away?
You know, just going out there and helping the team win. You know, matter of fact, whatever I got to do, you know, I go out there and I want to win first off. And you know, defensively wise, if I'm just a late, you know, inning replacement for Matt in the outfield or what have you, you know, I just want to go out there and do as best I can, you know, and do whatever I have to do to help the team win.
Path two, still a little more seasoning, you head back to the minors, let's say. What would you work on most if you were back down?
Really plate discipline. You know, I want to go out there and I want to, you know, control the zone. We've really been working on that a lot and really hunting my pitch, you know, hunting the zone where I do the most damage. So really working on, you know, the zone I want to hit in and not trying to chase too much and really working on plate discipline.
I like to ask this of all the guys. Obviously, you don't have much downtime. Andy Green's keeping you busy, and
absolutely.
He's keeping you tired. But what do you like to do in your spare time when you're down here in spring training? It's some long days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we like to go out and, you know, eat a nice meal and go shopping and kind of just hang out, go to the movies. You know, we get to go to the movies every once in a while at night and see some movies. So.
What's the most recent movie you've seen?
Recent movie? I can't even remember.
It was that good, huh?
Yeah, I want to go see Deadpool. That's what I want to go see.
Me too. I haven't been able to yet.
I'm a huge superhero kind of guy movie, so I really want to go see that. But the wife's kind of, eh. So.
Maybe you and I can go. We'll
that's
go
right.
find a
we'll
time
go
and go check it out.
Right.
Last question for you. Obviously, Mississippi State, something you keep very near and dear, another top 25 team they have
yes.
this year. How much do you get to follow the boys and see how they're still doing?
You know, I try to keep up with them as much as possible. I try to text, you know, my old coach, John Cohen, a little bit. And here and there, but I don't want to disturb him as well because I know he's got a job to do too. But, you know, I kind of keep up with him on Twitter and what have you. So, you know, they're doing well right now. You know, they have some ups and downs as well. Everybody does. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do in the long run.
All right, Hunter, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The season is just around the corner. But first, the team comes together in spring training. Broadcasting live from Peoria, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Thanks to all our guests this week. You just heard from Hunter Renfro, Andrew Kashner, Matt Vaskersian, Tom DeLong of Blink-182. Jesse, we're wrapping things up here. The one thing everyone kept telling me in the offseason, once it was announced I was coming to take this chair, your sock game better be strong.
Yeah,
Jesse brought the sock game.
It's become an obsession.
So I wanted us today to, as a unifying gesture, bring out our socks here and get the camera on in on us. Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
That's not bad at all, man.
That's some good tag team action.
I think our shoe game is both really weak right now. But the reality is, spring training, you're walking a lot, so you got to be comfortable more than fashionable.
You start getting the dirt from the infield
and
everything.
There's a lot of that. You don't want to ruin your nice shoes.
It's a mess,
But those are strong, man. I like the bubbles.
Thanks. You too. I like the blue. Can't go wrong. All right, Jesse, thanks so much for stopping by. It's going to be a fun rest of the spring. Really appreciate you coming by.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Hopefully we don't have to rely on you too much from now on.
That's what I told Seth. Never again.
Our next show is St. Patrick's Day before the Padres game against the Giants. Thanks for watching. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter, #PadresSH. See you next time.